You ready?
Sure.
I am going to turn on my recorder.
Okay.
Don't know what you're doing.
And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go
1, 2, 3, 4. What's that for?
It's so you can sync it out.
We don't do that.
You just one of you has to do it.
Yeah.
One. count off.
Why? I don't think we have to do anything of the sort. Never have before.
Well, guess what? It wasn't actually recording.
I'd like to start off by saying welcome to Gappage, episode number 38.
Live.
Wow. I looked it up.
Oh, man, it only took 9 years.
And before we get going, I want to give a couple of thank yous. First of all, to the episode preceding us, the Show Hole episode. That, after hearing that, I felt, well, we can't be any worse than that. And it was, I was feeling a little, but the barrier was high here, and there's a lot of good shows, and I felt that we're going to get up and it's going to be boring, and I didn't want to be boring. And after that, I didn't care anymore. And so, thank you.
And
I want to go further. I want to go a little further back, because that's what got me started in podcasting. When I actually called in to the Bob and AJ show and sent them a recording and said, thanks, guys, for setting the bar so low that anybody could join this podcasting movement. And Bob said, those words, fuck you, Scarborough dude, put out your own show. And I did.
And where are you now, like 1,500 shows later?
Not quite, but it's climbing up there. And then the second thank you I want to give is to MMD for having the guts to get up, which for him he admitted was a difficult time to get up solo and stand in front of people and do a live podcast.
He's not even here.
Well, he'll hear this, maybe.
We may have two.
I was just assuming he was behind us, waving his arms. But I mean that sincerely. I was very touched by that, and I think that's what's important. And lately, I found in my own personal life, and I know this is sounding like a Dixon Jeans already, I'm not letting Brent talk, but I just want to get this intro out of the way, if you don't mind, okay?
Carry on.
So quit being rude, Brent, putting all that pressure on me. That I've had to turn to my podcaster friends for a little more support lately, and I find this is the most incredible group of people who are real, who are human, who are deep, who are understanding, who are compassionate, who are artistic, who are creative, and who are caring. And it's just a wonderful thing to be a member of such a group. So this is just a general thank you to everybody who sort of gets what podcasting can be.
We're happy to have you. I'm glad you said all those complimentary things about me.
Well, I wasn't necessarily referring to you specifically, Brent, but anyway. Now, the last thing I've got to say is one of the reasons I didn't want to get up and do a Gappage is I really do think we have to push the reset button, because I don't think either of us really know what Gappage is about. We joked about it being what's different between us.
But we're much the same, so it's not a fun show.
No.
This is going to be another show hole, isn't it?
And no, it's not. Hey, come on. It's been great already. I'm feeling fantastic about the whole thing. But we'll either get stoned, and then being stoned is not the best way to record a podcast.
No, no.
It's fun while you're doing it, but it's not fun for the listeners. So.
I mean, yeah.
Not unless we're stoned, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Now, if you don't mind, rather than save this to the end, one of the great things you can do, if you get high, Candace, do you smoke up? Sorry.
I do not.
Oh, you don't? Well, then there's no point in telling you.
Then maybe I'll start.
Well, yeah. I was thinking a very nice trip to get on is get high, put in earbuds, and listen to the Dixon Jeans podcast. It's a really fun thing. Listening to high, I do it all the time, and it's great. But anyway.
It's very soothing, these wild stories.
Yes. It's like you're talking to yourself, man.
It's kind of like that, yeah. So anyway, let's get back to Gappage.
Am I on this show?
Yeah, it's your turn now.
Oh, well.
I didn't know you had turns.
Yeah, wow. Well, is this part of the new format?
Sorry?
Is this part of the new format? I did have something that I came across this weekend.
Oh, yes.
I'm staying at my mom's house for MMPR because it's cheaper than a hotel.
Yeah.
And it's much nicer. So,
being at your mommy's is nicer than hotel.
Yeah, she's got a nice place. Right. I don't give a shit. Right.
Okay.
I got to go for a swim this morning. Couldn't do that at a day's shit in.
No, it's true. Right. And you'd have to play backgammon with your mommy.
Yeah, I like backgammon. Well, you're trying to shame me. I don't care.
No. I think it's wonderful. I don't have a mommy. I'm envious, okay? I wish my mommy was around.
That's the way you're saying mommy. All right,
well,
fine.
Well, because I loved my mother too, Brent, all right? You're okay. Not the only one who loves your mother.
I thought I was unique.
Okay.
But do you love Brent's mother?
I was never meeting my mom.
I do kind of have a thing for his stepmom, but that's
you've never met her either.
I've seen pictures.
Dear God.
That's going to be fun to edit out.
Oh, I thought we were recording.
Oh, yeah, we're recording.
Oh, good.
We're well into it.
But my mom apparently is going through old papers and found something that I wrote when I was in like grade 8, and I tried to read it to myself. And I kept laughing in the middle of it because it's embarrassing and terrible.
Yeah, I don't think we have everybody's attention. Excuse me, folks. Brent is about to do something very, very important.
No, I think I'm going to make you read it because I can't read it without laughing.
Thank you.
No, thank you. I've already had some outside food. So
don't tell us where it was from and when.
Yeah. No, I'm setting the scene here. So this is. So, as you've mocked me for on previous episodes, I went to a private school.
Yes.
And every quarter they had, like, a magazine about what's going on at school.
Show the audience the cover.
Oh, yes. There's a cadet on the front. We had a cadet corps.
Okay.
And so this is from...
Am I wrong? Did you make the cover of this magazine?
No, that's not me.
No, but not this issue. But did you not...
I do have another one at her place where I was on the cover of this, pretending to look at a laptop. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
I'm a big deal. I don't know if you heard.
I wish you'd brought that one.
It's too much. It's a podcast. It doesn't work well as a sidekick, you know. So this is from July 1995, so I was in grade... there was a summer between grade 7 and 8,
mm-hmm.
and they published what the new class thought the world would be like in the year 2000.
Well, that sounds interesting.
And so I have, like, you know, a couple hundred words here, and you should read it, because it's awful, and it feels... It's embarrassing. It's what I think the world will be like when I graduate from high school, and none of it is true, and it's also naive and embarrassing, and... It, since the show is about age gaps, I figure we could talk about how stupid I was when I was a kid.
Okay. So it's the byline for the page was the class of 2000 predicts their future as seniors. Okay. And there's a paragraph here by Brent Morris.
A puzzle geek show.
Yes. It was long before that.
By Slugor.
I was not a geek in the closet.
Now we're talking.
All right. And they've given you as much length as everybody else, so that's good too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, if you don't mind, is everybody listening?
Taking notes.
Okay, good. All right.
Master Bowl.
All right. I wonder, maybe I should stand up for this. Oh, perhaps.
He's the worst character in Dead Poet Society, Headmaster Bowl.
Oh, I like the sound of that. Headmaster Bowl. Yeah. All right.
It's Grandmaster Flash.
The future is something I have always been fascinated about. This is Brent. Future is something I've always been fascinated about. Technologically, I hope computers will be even more intelligent.
Well, you got that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to be wrong about that.
Wow. Okay. If they could think for themselves, they could do your homework while you sat around and played video games.
It's not that far off.
But I was so many years off.
Yeah.
Because it was 2000.
Okay.
All right.
You want me to keep going?
Yeah.
Carta.
Sorry.
Virtual reality should take over traveling by the year 2000.
That did not happen.
No. You said it should.
Should.
Oh, should. That's fair.
Should.
Yeah. It's a should, not a will. Or shall.
And 2000. And you wrote this in when? Like 1995. Holy shit.
Yeah, wow. No, that was way off.
Wow. Going into the future.
5 years. That's a long time when you're in grade 8.
Some people are leaving, I think, in the middle. But I'll carry on
anyway.
We've
offended them.
All right. Internationally, I would hope the quality of life in the third world will increase.
I think I just put that in because I was feeling guilty about talking
about
video games.
No, but I think that's actually true. It's better. It's not great.
It's not great.
I would hope
it's
the quality better. Of life... I question the word increase. The quality of life would increase. I would have used improve or... But anyway, increase. Okay, fine.
Should I get you a red pen?
Improve.
In the third world. All right.
No, but we see what he's saying.
He wrote increase. Anyway, that's fine. I mean, nobody corrected these things. Famine... Excuse me. On the serious stuff. Now, famine will no longer claim the lives of innocent people.
Or the guilty people.
Yeah, no, I was apparently feeling very guilty when I wrote this.
All right. Wars will end.
That's not happening.
Nope.
Though there's fewer.
I was a dumb kid.
Optimistic.
Hopeful, as a young man should be.
That's right.
Racism and discrimination will stop.
Nailed it.
Although Scalia said racism is dead. So is hate.
And senseless acts of violence will cease.
Well, that didn't happen either.
Well, you were
less of it.
You were optimistic.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know who this person is. Carry on.
Factories that
acts of violence, though, with purpose.
Factories that spew out large, thick clouds of smog will be banned, and killing animals for sport will end.
To make any of these things
nothing. I'm just a cynical, grumpy asshole now. It's great. Anyway,
2 years.
I'm very happy you shared that.
I don't know who that is, and I have no recollection of writing it. But apparently, it was published, and other people read it
now,
in some
dumb school
magazine.
I'm going to ask you one question here about this.
Okay.
When you wrote this, did you have maybe the sneaking suspicion you were writing because you thought your professors might like to hear?
Yeah, no, I think it got to a point where I was like, wait, I should just say nice things, and then people will think I'm a good person.
The world is descending into a dystopian future.
Exactly.
Children will have six fingers and seven.
Anyway, I have no idea when I stopped being so hopeful.
Start using base 13 number system.
Don't read the rest of that. I'm sure it's lame.
No. Well, I thank you. I'm glad you shared that. I hope you feel okay.
It's fair. You know what? It's actually
It was. I'm glad someone else read it because I tried to read it to myself and just kept laughing in it. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you.
I don't. How much did you? Were you so hopeful when you were so young?
Everything you wrote there is
none of that will ever come true.
At the time, I would have hoped for. Like, that's what the hippies were hoping for. So you're ahead of your time. Well, no, you're late.
But Ken wrote the same still thing, but it said in 1970,
yes,
all war.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It'll be gone.
I thought the world would change while I was in high school. That's stupid.
5 years, but
the world
still
did change while you're in high school, though.
Not that much.
2000?
That's true. Computers did get smarter.
I'm glad your mom saved that.
But all the trends of those things you said are true. They didn't all happen, but it's all going towards.
It's all going that way, I guess.
It's nice.
I guess. Like, I was 15 years off from virtual reality. I don't know. I read that, and I have no idea who that is, because I don't.
You are.
I don't know if you noticed. I'm a very grumpy man.
He's not. He's sort of a Malcolm. He's the Jimmy Buffett of Malcolm Gladwell's.
I do think the line about computers being intelligent enough to do your homework so that you can play more video games.
That was
exactly like you.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, if someone just said that to me, I think Brett wrote that.
It was nice. It was really nice.
Thank you.
I honestly, it's sweet. Maybe it's the winter, almost certainly. It's sweet.
Don't we have computers that can pretty much do most homework?
I don't know.
Totally.
I would say,
believe me,
computers can automate half the work I used to know how to do when I got out of college. So eventually, it'll get there.
Unless homework has gotten harder.
No, have you seen how dumb kids are?
He's yes. Today.
Well, is that a note to end on, or is there?
I don't know. Are we only doing a 10-minute thing?
What do you? Well, I don't know.
Were you as hopeful?
Appropriation.
We were,
we
but we
not
were.
To do that
that was
that
a bad idea for today.
And we're going to get eat for it.
Yeah. No, I want to enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
So.
And I wanted to talk about the forcing the name change on Ryerson, but then you're going to have to get into the.
Again,
Black Lives Matter and everything else.
Yeah, I know. And that would be a continuation of last
year's. Of last
year.
This
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
I did see a very interesting T-shirt by being sold by a native Aboriginal, indigenous person at our church. And
look, it had three names
there. Big bold letters, yes. I wasn't sure where to go with that. Where to land, on which one. And it said, All Lives Matter, which, of course, as a white person, you can't put up. But as a native person, he could wear it. And I found that ties into the yeah, there's the, all these sensitivities we're going through these days right now. Is that
I keep waffling back and forth on my opinion on all these. Sometimes I'm pro them, and sometimes I'm like, all right, just tone it down. Just let people
be
their lives.
Want.
Yeah.
I listened to it. Maybe if you don't mind, I'll just get into this. I went to church 2 weeks in a row, and both times my minister, Greta Vosper, the atheist who has the courage to get up there in the United Church and run a church, and it's not been kicked out yet.
It's a weird church.
They will not. It's a great church.
It's a fun church.
With a dedicated following. Invited guest speakers. One of them was a young man, looked like he was from the streets of Toronto. Very, very, a guy you would not want to meet on an alleyway at night. Long black hair, all in black, and with a lot of anger. His mother died when he was forced to go to school, and his father was murdered, and this man had anger, and the anger was directed a lot against the white folks, the colonialists, and was angry, turned around to Greta in particular, who was sponsoring money for Syrian refugees, or not Syrian, sorry, for the people who have dared to blog and question, you know, certain religious views and so on. And we've rescued one family. We had a woman live in our church for 2 years and finally got accepted as a refugee. And she's raising money and funds to get another family out so that they will not be, whose publisher and everybody else have been murdered. This man is set, he's on a list to be murdered. She's hoping we can get him to Canada as a refugee. And he said, why are you doing this to people from other countries when we have trouble with our own people right here in Canada, who have been ignored for centuries and don't have clean water and education and so on. So it was an interesting point, you know, for the church to swallow. Well, she is. We did. She's the one who invited these people to come in and speak and educate us in this. And she did a wonderful ceremony. Every week we had to read out the messages from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
I've been to your church a few times. I'm kind of upset you didn't invite me to this guest speaker.
Well, you know where it is and when it is.
Yeah, but you should say, like, I've enjoyed the talking about Aboriginal issues in church.
So this man had hatred and anger a lot, and justifiably so. The second speaker had spent his life researching Aboriginal music from Mexico all the way up to northern Canada, and has done the authoritative book that's like 10 inches thick, and has had a display at the Smithsonian for 5 years. This man knew music. And I spoke to him after. It moved me to tears. It was one of those weird situations. It's awkward, uncomfortable for me to say this, but I actually held his hand and said, I love you. And this is a word I have difficulty saying. And he answered back, I love you too. And he had been able to get rid of his hatred and anger. He said it was killing me. The hatred and pain I felt was killing me, and I found I was hurting myself more than anything else. I had to let it go and see the balance in life, and he just seemed to have this incredible understanding that went beyond the first man's anger, who can't get to that point yet. So I don't know if that's Gavin's material, but I wanted to share, I guess, that with everybody.
It's not really his Prince essay.
No. But it's real, and it's current, and it's now, and it's all those same things, you know, about the pain we have to heal and the people who
Like I said, I've sort of been waffling back and forth on my opinions there.
You said you'd become a little cynical in your older age.
Well, apparently, yeah. Like, I thought that essay
really
was
like
dumb.
It?
Yeah, I do. I feel far more cynical than I used to be.
Maybe
I used to thought things could be fixed, and now I don't. Could be a little better, but
did you believe it back then it could be fixed, or were you just thinking, this is the world I want?
No, I'm not saying the world that I want. I just feel pragmatically it could be better for some people, but it can't be fixed.
That's where you feel now.
That's how I feel. It's kind of nihilistic, but
do you think that'll change in another 5 years?
I would hope so.
What's it going to take for you to have more of a positive outlook?
I don't know. Maybe you just have kids or something. My brother had kids, and now he's obnoxious.
That's
true. Or had a kid, and now he's just so
hopeful.
It's just annoying.
That is interesting.
Yeah. It really changes
his
point of view.
Yeah.
Kids don't make him happy.
No, it does. It makes him, talks about the future and stuff. It's weird. Yeah.
So you could just raise up a bastard kid, doesn't matter who and anybody, and just make yourself
Kid.
That's part of my role on this show.
He waves.
I have to make Brent look good.
Yeah.
I'm the meeting.
There's no bastard children.
Thank you. Good.
Anyway, yeah, I don't. I think maybe that's what I have to do. I didn't think that that's what I had to do, but now looking at him, I'm like, shit, I should have kids. That's a terrible reason.
We don't have a lot of time, but I'd be very interested to know how you're going to go about doing this.
Well, I got to find, you know, a vessel. I've heard they don't like to be called that.
Holy shit, like, he wants to die right now.
You have to go there.
They waited until you were in the bathroom and dropped a real bomb.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we did that.
The last one you want to talk about vessels is to when there's a brown girl in the bathroom. Oh my gosh.
Next topic.
See, you trying to be controversial. I can do it too.
Tried to tee you up.
All
right, so we're sort of losing it to the.
I think we are.
Come out of the audience. Yeah, so I don't know. Is there anything else you'd like to wrap? Any? Oh wait, everybody else took questions from the audience.
How do you make fudge?
It's been hours. You could have searched it by now.
I think we've already had the scientific answer to that one.
Yeah.
So, I think we'll leave another question, please. Uh-oh.
What are your views of cultural appropriation?
Oh, dear Lord.
Didn't we just gloss over
that? I don't know. I just heard static.
Yeah. I think we glossed over that one.
Wait until you're in the bathroom to talk about it.
Yeah, no, we're good.
So,
well, it is a very, very interesting topic. And the one that stands out black and white to me, don't mind me saying that, is the white woman who copied the Aboriginal art. I think it was Norvell, maybe his work. And if you saw her painting beside his, they look identical. The colors, the styles, the shapes. And she was going to put on an art exhibit in Toronto. And suddenly, somebody tipped off the art gallery owner and said, really, do you want to put this white woman's art up here representing Aboriginal people who she has no connection at all, and these are for sale? And they quickly pulled out and canceled their show. And at first I thought, well, you can't just cancel an artist's show because it looks like Native art. And then I realized, and I listened, and I thought about it, and it was stealing, basically. She had taken an art form of somebody else.
Was the style copy?
The style and the color and the
was
shape
the content
and the
copy?
The content, everything. I mean, it wasn't
like what were they duplicating?
She wasn't duplicating.
Okay, well then,
the
no. What's the difference between copying and influence if you're painting different things?
One, the thing is, these were themes that meant something to the indigenous people.
Are you saying that you can't?
She had no connection to this other than the colors, I like the shapes.
You're a white man from Canada who has quite the connection and fondness for Japanese culture. Is that wrong?
Well, you can like culture without appropriating it.
Yeah, but liking that culture would influence the things that you make.
No, she just saw this. I think she saw, gee, this looks really good, and this could probably sell, and I like his style. She felt oblivious to it. She felt she didn't do anything wrong. But the community spoke and said, that looks an awful lot like his work, and you've taken a style that doesn't come from your roots. It doesn't come from your heart. You've just copied on the surface. Maybe this is like white people doing black music back in the early days of rock and roll. And
yeah,
we accepted that, but now people are starting to say, wait a minute, let's go back. Let's make sure the artists are getting some recognition, the original artists who created this
style. Okay, well, if she did this art exhibit without recognizing and pointing out her influence.
Well, she knew exactly what she was doing. She spoke about it openly. But that's just one
I don't know. All of these instances depends on the context, and that's where it...
Well...
That's why the rules of it seem fuzzy for me, because, you know.
Okay, this one seems very clear. We have a gapage here. I came around, but I guess the only point
I come around at times, and then there's other times where I'm like, well, why can't you mix? Why can't someone from another culture be influenced by...
Well, you can be influenced by it. Of course you're going to be. But then it came down to the whole issue of people resigning from the walrus and everything else because they said, I want to be able to write in the voice of a native person. I want to be a man, be able to write in the voice of a woman. And other people said, whoa, you can't do that. You can't do that. You're stealing our platform. And that was a huge... That brought this to the surface.
Yay, Canada 150.
Right? Well, it's a lot of this came up. The thing is, it's provoked conversation and discussion. And that's important. And that's the whole issue. Whether you agree or disagree, there's a right answer, wrong answer. Do you at least think about these things? And I think what's happening now, and the result of Canada 150, is a lot of people are thinking a lot more about issues that mean something to other people. We're hearing about these things. We are hearing about how horrible those homes were and what happened.
Caused the genocide.
The same way we didn't know anything about locking up all the Japanese people during the camps. You know, that wasn't in our history books, you know? And suddenly, third generation are saying, hey, my grandpa worked here and lost everything because he was a Jap and you put him in a camp in British Columbia. This is wrong. And it took until 1988 for Canada to say, whoa, I think we might have made a mistake there. And so this kind of thing is important now to have discussion. And the world needs more of this as opposed to the reaction. Okay, look at the guy who's getting $10 million. Here's another issue.
Omar Khadr.
Yes, Omar Khadr. How that is polarized on the internet. People aren't discussing or thinking. They are just, no, he shouldn't. Everybody else, every Afghanistan veteran should get this. And others, yes, he should. This is the rule of law.
I've gotten a number of internet fights about it.
Well, it's a very interesting issue. But at least if people are talking about it and thinking about it, that's where there is hope for the better world that you see.
Right, but
still
there's
want.
Not. Well, there's not a lot of discussion about that. As you said, it's just I agree or I disagree.
Well, I'm trying to bring some discussion to the forum
I think
you
should have got that settlement, and I think what happened to him was wrong. A Canadian citizen should not get thrown in a torture site.
Yes,
for a decade.
Exactly. So he was right to get this money. It was an arbitrary sum of money, but
right,
it's just agreed upon.
Yeah. So I think he deserves that money, but there's
alleged crimes. It's an alleged crime.
It was a confession by torture, and
but
even if he did do those things, he was a child soldier.
The venom that has come up over.
Oh yeah, no, I've gotten a lot of fights with people on the internet. Every time there's an article about it on one of the news sites on Facebook, I click the comment section, knowing what's going to happen. And then get depressed and then realize that I shouldn't have clicked that.
Hold on. Dave and I both have a child who is 16 years old. And if they're being tortured, I can pretty much guarantee they're going to say whatever it is that they're going to say because
no
they're
argument,
being
they are.
Tortured.
Yeah, I don't want to imagine my son being tortured.
I don't want my own daughter being tortured.
I was just
tortured.
Talking to myself.
Yeah,
so.
I think it's agreed that people are coming around. The wiser sites are people are saying, "Yeah, all right, we have to do this. It was the right thing to do."
Right, and the main issue I have with it right now is that I've voted conservative before. People call me a liberal, but I'm not.
You voted conservative.
I have before. I switch back and forth. I don't have allegiance to a particular party.
Shame on conservatives.
Right. And. Well, there's some conservatives that aren't psychos, and all the responses I've heard about from MPs and stuff about this Khadr thing is that they think that him getting a settlement was a bad idea, and I don't understand the subtext of that is, well, if we decide you're a terrorist, then we'll go torture you, and we're okay with that, and that makes me not want to support that party.
No, there's a subtext that he's being identified as an enemy combatant because someone died while they were renditioning him.
The other conversation here is that when somebody goes to war, so on the flip side of the U.S., of the wife, right, who's suing him for a civil suit, when you go to war, when you choose to go into the military, you're choosing also to go and die for your country. So does that mean that every person that goes and fights for their country, whether you're in Canada, the U.S., or whatever, that now you're going to go and sue? You're now going to have a civil suit?
It was a very smart move of the Canadian government to pay him before her case could be heard.
Well,
not going to be heard anyway, but they did that deliberately. Here it is, bam, you've got the money.
The U.S. wife got $139 million.
Yeah.
Civil suit, which is never going to go forward.
Yeah.
But the fact is, when the minute that you have chosen on your own free will to go to the military, you are choosing to die, and whether you're choosing to die because you don't know how a war is going to happen, what war zone you're going into. You're choosing to make a practical decision to die.
I wonder
for your country.
I wonder if we might be able to go back and end the show on a lighter note, maybe. We've brought everybody down and silenced
this
the room.
This is why I'm so cynical.
Back to your earlier idealism or something. I guess that's it. Questions from the audience. I don't think anybody dare at this point. So
you would just answer my fudge question.
I really believe that's been dealt with.
You emulsify the sugar and then milk.
Ooh.
And then
another scientist.
Fat, and then it hardens into a solid.
Another scientist.
You put some maple in there.
He was
my God.
Yeah, he was. I'm going to give you a C. That was a great answer. But at least it's satisfactory.
Excellent.
Yeah, but I can say I've been marked by you. You know, that's respect all of itself.
What do you to say?
That's a great note to end on, and you've always wanted Dave's admiration anyway, so this is a perfect end.
Exactly. Perfect.
Thank you very much, well, folks.
All right.
That wraps up.
That wraps up. Gappage.
We're back.
I'll see you guys in 9 months.
Thank you.
So, we're ready.
We gotta go.
How would you describe in words the sound of your horn?